So the mutineers laid down their weapons and were taken prisoner by my great army of 8. But we never let them know that we were so few in number. In fact, the captain told the mutineers the island had an English governor, myself, and they were to lay down their weapons and trust to the governor's mercy. Our next job was to repair the original longboat and work out how we were going to seize the ship from the mutineers who remained on board. Meanwhile, the captain continued to lecture the former mutineers, assuring them that they would end up on the gallows in London, or even here on the governor's island. As for you, Atkins, and he turned to the man who had started the mutiny, you will be executed tomorrow at dawn. In fact, this was quite untrue, but it had the desired effect. Atkins fell on his knees, begging the captain to plead with the governor to show mercy and spare his life. The other mutineers followed his example. The captain returned to me. What next? He asked. If we are to successfully take back the ship, we must divide up the prisoners, I told him. Take Atkins and 2 more of the worst villains and truss them up in the cave with the other prisoners. Once the real troublemakers are out of the way, we have a chance. Next, tell the rest of the crew that they must remain completely loyal and ensure that the mutineers still aboard the ship are captured. Take only 5 of the most trusted men with you, leaving their companions behind as hostages. Tell them that if there is any betrayal, the hostages will be hanged on the shore. They will believe you. Friday and I will guard the prisoners and hostages while you and your raiding party take the ship. It all worked as planned. The captain took his raiding party in the 2 longboats. As they approached the ship, one of the loyal crew called some of the mutineers out on deck. I've picked up the men from the island, he told them, but it took a long time to find them. In the dark, the mutineers had no idea that the captain and the first mate were aboard the boat until it was too late. The mutineers on deck were quickly overcome. The rest of the raiding party then swarmed on board, locking the hatches to trap the mutineers below decks. At last the mutiny was finally over. Our plan had worked, and the ship was secured. The captain ordered 7 guns to be fired. When I heard the signal, I knew the raiding party had been successful. Exhausted, I lay down and slept soundly on the shore until the sound of a gun made me start up, alarmed. Then I heard a voice calling, Governor, Governor, and I saw the captain climbing the hill towards me. He pointed to his ship riding peacefully at anchor. Then he embraced me and said, My dear friend and deliverer, there's your ship, for she is all yours, and so are we, and all that belongs in her. I was overwhelmed. At last I could go home. To prepare us for the voyage, and to thank me for my help, the captain had brought a feast ashore, with cordials, wine, beef, pork, peas, and biscuit, luxuries which I had not tasted since I was shipwrecked. But best of all, he bought me clothing, so that I could be a civilized man again. I had clean shirts, neckclothes, gloves, shoes, a hat, stockings, and a good suit of clothes of his own, which fitted me remarkably well. 5 of the remaining mutineers, who were still considered to be untrustworthy, were given the choice of being left on the island or returned to England in chains. When they arrived, they would be hanged. I spent a long time telling them about life on the island. They decided to remain behind and take their chances. I left weapons and ammunition so they could protect themselves and told them when the various crops we had planted would ripen. As they gazed at the chief mutineer hanging from the yardarm of the ship, I could see they felt they had made the right decision. Meanwhile, my devoted friend Friday said he wanted to accompany me back to Europe. I readily agreed, determined to look after and protect him, as he had protected me.